That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, the lead singer of a very cool band, the band Sponge, Vinny Dombrowski, comes into the studio. Well, actually comes in via Zoom with me and James Mattern. The stupid thing is this. He'd been on the show before. I didn't realize it till afterwards in another project, but it's because I'm a fucking idiot. What can I tell you? We do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. It streams live at Gas Digital. If you're a paid subscriber, you go to gasdigital.com, sign up, use the code SDR14, and you can get a two-week free trial, and you can watch and listen and enjoy the show from the day it started commercial-free. But wherever you're listening or watching right now, that's the important thing. We thank you for spreading the love of the SDR Show. And here it is right now, the Sponge episode of the aforementioned SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the host. It's weed, I'm beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again. Always doing something with background. This week, it's a candle. You trying to look romantic?
Yeah, I'm going to tongue kiss you in the middle of this episode. I'm going to see if our guest can handle it. I'm going to see how progressive he is at 2024. I had the candle the last one we did.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I did. It adds ambiance. Look at this.
It looks more like a little fire. It looks more like, I don't know. It doesn't look like just a gentle candle. I don't know.
Yeah, so to show how who I really am.
It's a scented candle.
Is it?
Yeah, it smells like disappointment. That's okay. To remind me of the last 46 years.
you just stand over it to reinvigorate the smell. Is that what I
remind myself? Yeah, it smells like crazy ex-girlfriends because that's what I need in my life.
All right, so let me introduce this guy, singer, songwriter, in more bands than you can count for side projects, which is pretty wild. Most notably, of course, the band Sponge. The interesting thing about him before we get into this is that, James, you know, I am the one that always tries to do a lot of research, right? And the last three or four bands that we've been on the show, when they talk about frontmen that they were impressed by, they all pick this guy. And unfortunately, I've never actually seen them live, so I'm very excited to at least finally talk to him. This band was a mainstay in my strip club days. I would play them almost every night. It is the singer of the band Sponge, Vinny Dombrowski. Thank you so much. And I don't know why it says Mark on your Zoom here, but welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to see you guys. And I'm curious, what was a good strip club Sponge song?
Well, I would close with Have You Seen Mary a lot. That would be the last song of the night very often. But Wax Ecstatic was always a good one for an energy room. Even Plowed was good. I mean, I had a bunch. I even would do... Fuck, what was the one from your other record? Give me a second. I got to think about it.
I could tell you I've been in a strip club in Vegas.
Oh, Pollyanna.
In mid-90s. I've seen a girl dance to 16 Candles to the Molly song. She was missing a tooth. Her name was Sky, but she was spectacular. I love her. She also danced to Like Suicide by Soundgarden. So, Sky, if you're out there, someone still remembers the magic you did.
By the way, it reminds me, when we were at the strip club, the girls would put down the type of music they like. And I kind of forgot about this until this just moment. So they would tell you like songs they like or genres that they like. And, you know, they'd write rock or they'd write pop or they'd list a bunch of artists. And this girl had Madonna, Metallica, Sponge, etc. I don't know what that means. What's the next band in that list?
The Dead Milkmen.
Maybe. I would love Dead Milkman. I would love if a girl just handed you a note and it just said Coltrane. I mean, what the fuck would you have done with that?
I also would hate girls would put in like a song instead of a genre, like two songs. And then after that, you got nothing. Anyway, it's not about my old strip club days. It's about this man right here. thank you again for coming to the show. It bothers me that I've never seen you guys live, but we'll start with your early days and we'll go up to today because there's a lot to cover with you. Not only are you from Detroit, but so much so that your Instagram is official underscore sponge Detroit. So you embrace the Detroitness more than most. Is that fair?
It's fair to say that. I got my Detroit hat, the Spirit of Detroit hat. You can't see that logo, but it's there. I wear it like a badge, you know? I don't think Sponge would be Sponge without the background of the city Detroit. It would be impossible.
Oh, well, that's a fair assessment. We'll start with this. We'll go back to your early days. Bob Seger, David Bowie, you were turned on to by your older sister. And at some point, you're a drummer first. And I like this. I think the name of the band was the Kryptons, but not spelt like with a K for Superman, but spelt with a C. I don't know where that came from. Where did that name come from? And you're only 13 at the time.
I have no idea. I really don't remember where Krypton came from. I don't even think I remember being a fan of Superman, but something about having the power to bring down a superhero with music was very interesting, you know, the loud amplifiers and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if we brought down Superman, but we sure pissed off my buddy's parents, man. You know, we play music out in the garage and have the amps turned way up, and we have to run extension cord from the basement. We always knew when rehearsal was up because they would just unplug us from inside the house. We're like, well, that sucks.
So what a move.
So all we would do after that was, you know, that's why we started smoking weed and drinking like Night Train and Boone's Farm and stuff like that at 13 or 14.
Wow, it's an early age to get started drinking. That's about the Detroit way, I guess, right?
Ruff, do you remember Boone's Farm? They had a thing called Strawberry Hill. It tasted like a semi-sweet hobo's foot. It was insane. And girls were drinking. If a dude took a sip, he'd get beat up. Swear to God, Vegas, rough, 90s.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that. So the different wines at the liquor store were, you know, Red Rocket and Night Train, Mad Dog 2020, and Boone's Farm. But all the way through, like, the mid-80s, I was still taking one bottle of Boone's Farm to practice. And I get done practicing, and I would just slam a bottle of Boone's Farm and go home.
Not Mad Dog 2020. I knew a dude who drank two bottles of Mad Dog 2020 New Year's Eve before 9 o'clock. We dropped him off at 9:59 in front of his Mormon parents' house. Never saw him again. Happy New Year.
Let me ask you a question. This goes to both of you. As a slightly more privileged guy growing up, I never had any of that shit, you know? So it was like fortified wine? It was just, what actually was that shit?
Well, it was basically, from what I've always understood, like Red Rose, Red Rocket, it's just a shitty, sweet port-style wine. And it's sweetened with sugar. That's what I always understood gave you the worst possible hangover.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cheap. You could get that stuff for like $2 a bottle. And it's what you counted on. You know, was it Billy D. Williams? My big Saturday night would be a 40 of Colt 45 in a paper bag and a bag of better-made barbecue chips. Everything bought on the east side of Detroit, and that was the weekend, man. And to this day, I'll never forget one of the biggest parties Sponge ever went to in the early days was a Sony music party where they were kind of debuting the bands, and the bands were all showing up. So Jimmy, the old drummer from Sponge, and I showed up at this beautiful sound stage, and it took so long to get a drink, but there was a liquor store next door, so we knew the default was to go get a bottle of Colt 45 in a brown paper bag. We did that. We walked back into the party. We were the only two guys walking around that high-class party with 40s and brown paper bags.
I mean, that's fucking cool as shit.
That's rock star move.
That's a real rock and roll story. I love it. So at some point, you're still a drummer. The band is called Loud House. You get a deal, which I didn't know until recently. You had a song on the Point Break soundtrack. George Clinton was in the video. Like, things are going well for the band Loud House. But then, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's what I think happened. Someone in the band, maybe it was the singer, quit before the second album was finished. So you said, well, fuck it, I'm going to sing. Is that how that really happened?
Well, we did make a serious attempt to find another singer after Kenny, the singer, left the band. And you know, little sidebar on this thing. We were making that second record. It was pretty much done. We would have gotten another deal, no problem. You know, it would have been a simple thing for us to do. But Kenny left the band at that time, and we did try to get somebody else to sing. But since we were all involved in the writing of the music, we just kept writing and recording. And I just sang on the demos, and then one thing led to another, and we just started becoming sponge.
Right, but am I right? And I again, I always have to preface this. So I apologize, Lista. I say this a lot. Sometimes my research is faulty, but the original name after the last band, before Sponge, which is such a bizarre name, was it Electric Cattle Gods?
Where'd you find this stuff?
He's unbelievable, bro.
Am I right? Am I right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was definitely the top pick. And we had a show. See, we used to rehearse behind the bowling alley. See, the rock club was located in a big complex where there was a bowling alley and a automotive body shop, like a collision shop. And we rehearsed behind the bowling alley next to the collision shop. And when we wanted to go play a show, we would just carry our equipment around
the corner,
backstage door, and load in and play. And so that particular night, the club owner asked us what name he should put on the marquee, because he knew it wasn't Loud House anymore. And we said, well, the Electric Cattle Gods. And our buddy, the owner of the club, Joe Scroy, he just says to me, he goes, Vinny, I don't have enough letters. So it became Sponge. I go, okay, Joe, put up Sponge.
That's fucking great. I think it's more memorable. Sponge is more interesting. Electric Cattle Gods is too wordy, I feel.
Just God, I mean, would have made a great T-shirt, though. Think about that.
Electric Cattle Gods as merch is next level.
Or just make the next fucking... I know you got another album coming down the pike. We'll get into it in a little bit, but why don't you call the album that? The next Sponge album should be called that. That would be interesting.
That's a great idea, and I'm not kidding you, because we do have plans on making a full-length record here. We got two records coming up right now that are just kind of, one's just, the mixes are just about done. Another record will be on the way after that, which is a 30th anniversary record. And then we're going to do yet another full-length record, and that could be the Electric Cattle Gods.
And then in the liner notes, it should say, thank you, Ralph Sutton, for this brilliant idea.
I think the album cover should be a bottle of, like, Boone's Farm with a candle burning, and there it is. And then you don't have to give me any credit. I'm just here for the art. I don't need the accolades.
No, I'm only here for the credit.
I appreciate that, but you understand all the questions. People are going to be like, what the hell does that mean?
I've listened to Stairway to Heaven a million times. I still don't know what a foregrown is or whatever that shit is.
Yeah, that's fair. So now, as you, the band Sponge becomes the name, you had started writing the album, the second album that never came out. Did those songs make it onto the first Sponge record that you guys self-produced and self-funded, or did you start fresh?
No, we started fresh, and we were writing like madmen back then. You know, people say, well, you got your whole life to make your first record, which is a bunch of bullshit, because we were writing rapid fire, man. It was all like real super fast, and we had no problem coming up with song ideas, you know, or recording. So that shit came quick, and we didn't need a lick of any of the old songs from Loud House.
Oh, that's cool. And also, I know you're still an avid writer. You say you try to write at least twice a week still. You like to keep the chops fresh.
I do. And a lot of folks don't, you know, like I heard that Billy Joel hasn't written a song in 40 years. And some of my favorite writers, they just say they don't write much anymore. But in order for me to keep sharp with it, I do like to write a few times a week.
That's cool. So let's get into the first record. Rotting Pinata comes out in 94. As you said, it's 30th anniversary. On your Spotify, there's re-recordings of it. There's one that's like sped up, which is kind of strange. It's called. It's interesting to listen to.
Heard about that.
Yeah, and Cloud comes out, and what I like about it is, if I'm not mistaken, you wrote it on a Sunday afternoon. You recorded it that night, like it was bing bang. There wasn't a lot of time spent on it. It was quick, and it's also known as Howard Stern's favorite song. And apparently the whole idea came to you after you were shoveling snow for 10 minutes. Is that all correct?
That pretty much sums it up. And how, you know, Howard's, you know, like one of his favorite tunes has always blown my mind. But yeah, that song came real fast. And we recorded it, real quick.
And just a simple thing, right? You didn't overthink it, I guess, at the time. How old were you in 94?
Oh, I was 94 when the record came out. I was 32.
Okay, wow. So you're older already. Okay, that's yeah, cool. Yeah. That makes sense. You have a little. What do they say that? A little. Little hair on the chin, as my grandfather used to say.
Hair on the chin, I'd never heard my whole life.
That's what my grandfather used to say. Yeah, for sure.
I've been referring to myself as long in the tooth.
That's
long
another
in the
one.
Tooth. That's yeah. right.
I'm a little so now, long in the tooth, baby.
This all is going to tie together. Ready? So at one point, Howard brings you on the show, and I forgot what was happening, but everybody was offered to do covers of each other, and then you guys covered STP. And then Goo Goo Dolls covered you.
Yep.
How long did that go on for that in those days? Was that like an ongoing thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen several bands that had performed on the show, and they were covering some of Howard's favorite jams. But having the Goo Goo Dolls do Sponge was, you know, that's a tip topper for me, man. We've always been a fan of the Goo Goo Dolls and Johnny Goo and all the great stuff that they've done, man. You know, they've had a great, great career. So to have him sing that song, man, that's one of the tip toppers in the career, right?
I would imagine. One of the things I was looking for, I couldn't find it, but I know at one point Sponge covered Cherry Pie by Warren. Where is that one? I couldn't find it.
It's out there somewhere. I bet if you dug around either on Amazon or maybe CD Baby or something like that. Yeah, that's a stretch, man. But we used to do a lot of music licensing stuff for like movies and TV shows. And I recall a music supervisor requesting that of us. We've gotten some weird requests, man. We have done things like AC/DC songs, but they wanted it like Nine Inch Nails. And it's just a lot of varied kind of stuff. We're working on a cover record right now.
Right, that's what leads me into this. Now, you're working on a cover record called 94, all covers from the year 94. You got a Danzig cover on there, a Sonic Youth cover on there, Blur, Oasis. Any other ones that you want to let us or know that is on there?
Well, the weird one for I think a lot of folks will be the Fade Into You by Mazzy Star.
Wow. That's great. That is fucking great.
And you would go, how does Sponge cover that? But the track just sounds fantastic. And, you know, we did reach out to the label. We were like, Kim Gordon, perhaps from Sonic Youth, would come and sing. And we hit up our buddy who plays bass in Danzig, you know, would Glenn be interested perhaps? And, you know, we're not sure if that's going to happen, but... Hope Sandoval, I think her name is. We were hoping to reach out to her. Maybe she would want to, on a special mix, sing a verse or two. That would be cool. You know?
Right. Boy, she was unbelievable back in the day. That was like a hypnotic record. Jesus Christ. What are you going to say, James?
Everyone was madly in love with her. Everyone. And when she was dating one of the dudes from the Jesus and Mary Chain, everyone stopped listening to Jesus and Mary Chain out of anger. Like when any of us dumb 14-year-olds in Vegas had a chance, but we're like, yo, fuck them. We ain't listening. And we sounded just like that, too, at 14 in Vegas. A lot of real mook shit going on there, baby.
I also think, by the way, I think the guy in Mazzy Star died not that long ago. Am I right? I think so.
The guitar
could be wrong.
Player, writer, dude? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
think he passed away. I could be wrong, but if I'm right, it shows you how off-the-cuff musical knowledge I am. I think he did. All right, before we go any further, you know these guys because they've been sponsoring us for 4.5, maybe 5 years at this point. We're talking about none other than Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo of Kratom. They have all unique strains, blends, things that are only available there. High quality Kratom, unique strains and blends all come direct to you, quick and easy and fresh, because you don't know how long that Kratom has been sitting at that gas station or that bodega if you're here in New York City. You go to YoKratom.com, you stock up on $60 kilos of Kratom, and you feel that warm, cushy feeling inside knowing that you supported a sponsor that supports the SDR show. So head on over to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. Like you said, it's also the 30th anniversary of Rotting Pinata. And I don't know how this happened, but you found some old tapes that were extra recording sessions, and you actually had to bake them to get them to work again? Is that, I don't know what that means exactly.
Right, yeah, I mean... I learned about that a couple years ago, what the bands must do. It basically, baking a tape. You're trying to babysit it. If you try to do it in an oven, you better make sure you're it's set at about 150 degrees, and it spends about 8 hours in there, and you're kind of flipping it. But they sell these machines that dehumidify them with heat. But the idea is to get the moisture out of the tape, because they accumulate moisture over a period of years. So before you actually put the tape back on a machine, and then you want to transfer it digitally, you want to make sure that moisture is baked out of there.
Did you have any idea what was on those tapes?
No, not really. Because, think about it. With our old bag of tricks being Boone's Farm and Colt 45s, you see what's written on the box, but you don't know what's inside the box.
That's great. So when you played it back for the first time, did it immediately I remember this fucking song? Or was it almost like you're listening to this shit for the first time?
Well, I was kind of listening to it for the first time, because I recall some song titles, but I just hadn't recalled what the song was. And then, after several plays, I'm like, oh my God, I kind of remember this song now. But, it's stuff that we just kind of abandoned. We figured it wouldn't work good on the first record, so we just, kicked it aside. But we're going to start mixing one of those tracks in a week or so, man. And it just, there's some fiery shit on there. You got a bunch of guys all pumped up and excited about what's going on with music, like we always are. And it's great to see the young guys so excited and full of belief.
So am I right in that there's a covers record coming, there's this lost tapes from Roddy Piñata sessions coming, and potentially the new album coming? Is that all of this year?
Yeah, Electric Cattle Gods is the new record. But we did something.
Album of the year.
What's that?
Album of the year, baby. Electric Cattle.
It's probably the one, So my thought is, we did some cool stuff. There's a music company called Sweetwater out in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, man, they got just beautiful studios out there. And we decided to record a couple new things for this 30th anniversary record. And we're thinking we might bring a whole studio audience in. We'll have to do a lot of rehearsing, but we'd love to track it in front of a studio audience. And Sweetwater is a perfect place to do that. So we're thinking about crowdfunding that new record and doing it out of Sweetwater. So stay tuned for that.
Well, one of the cool things that you... What's that, James? What were you going to say?
Amazing. This is terrific. That'd be a great thing to be a part of.
That's well, one of the things,
I'm just fired up.
One of the things that Sponge has done for years, which is wild, is they do like a pub crawl on a bus. So when you sometimes when you pay for the meet and greet, it's backstage for 30 seconds. They say, hey, what's up? Take a picture in front of a fucking step and repeat and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But Sponge does it a little differently. You get on a bus and you go fucking pub crawl and get drunk with the guys. Are you still doing that?
Yep, we're doing one April 6th, and it's sold out, man. We put that thing on sale, and people have so much fun. We even have a gal that has been a fan of the band since the beginning. Our friend Lisa, she's from Providence.
So I imagine she's got some hair on the chin, but continue.
She's a lovely gal. She's getting married on the pub crawl.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have a wedding. Our guitar player, Andy, he just got some kind of certification to do the ceremony, and we're going to have a wedding during the pub crawl.
I heard this somewhere in one of your interviews that you would check around, how many stops is the right amount of stops on a pub crawl? Five is too many.
Wow.
Three was the sweet spot. Is that correct?
Yeah, but that's because we didn't know any better. We thought, well, let's do five. And the problem with that is everybody wants to have drinks with you. And I was literally by the last stop, and it was one of my favorite stops, I was almost crawling home. So
it's called the pub crawl for a reason.
Oh, I was a crawler. Yeah, it was it was rough. So I go, three is good, man. It's all fantastic. And that, which is fine, too, because the following week we start our West Coast dates. And I'm like, I can't go out there, in a deficit situation by drinking too much.
Do you still have the rule that it's clear liquor only on show days and other liquors can be done on other days?
The rules are broken now, because I just during a lot of dates, I don't drink anything. I'll wait till we get done with a string of dates. I'll have some drinks then. But if I'm out working, because it was just like, we drink before, during, and after the gigs. But I'm not getting any younger, so it doesn't get any easier.
And you're talking to preaching to the choir here. So now here's a couple of, I would say, funny little, I would say, mistakes that could have been more interesting for the band. You tell me if I'm wrong or right. So Molly, which a lot of people know the song, thought it was about Molly Ringwald. It wasn't. It was about a girl who committed suicide. But Molly Ringwald wanted to be in the video, which would have been cool as shit, but you guys said no. And I'm guessing, in hindsight, you probably should have said yes, or am I wrong?
We should have said yes. Yeah. That should have been a no-brainer. But, you know, it's funny. Back then, it's just like you're not quite thinking about maybe having some kind of collaboration with some other, like a celebrity or anything like that, you know. And, of course, none of us ever thought we'd play a casino either. Back in the day, if you said, you know, you're going to play a casino, and we're just like, no, we play rock clubs and concerts. But, you know, talking to, like, a couple years ago, we went to see Alice in Chains. We were at Steel Stacks in Pennsylvania, and they were playing a casino right next door to the venue we were playing. So we went to go see the boys after our show, and I'm standing there with Jerry Cantrell and Sean and Mike and Will, and the question came up, Vin, do you think we would have played casinos back in the day? And I go, nope, no, we wouldn't. And we're all going, man, they treat us so good these days. Why wouldn't we play a casino now? But so it's like, whether it's Molly Ringwald or casinos, back then it wouldn't have been on our radar.
Right. It's also, speaking of Alice in Chains, and back in the day, you guys were offered two opportunities. This goes back to the girl thing, which was open for Alice in Chains or have some girl that you didn't know open for you. And boy, did she, this is the year that she blew the fuck up, and it was Alanis Morissette. And you just decided,
Yeah, that was it. And we didn't know who she was. Nobody told us who she was. And we had an opportunity to tour the UK with her at that time, but we didn't know, man. But when somebody says to you, you're going to play your hometown in one of the most legendary baseball stadiums, you know, with Kiss, Alice in Chains, that's a no-brainer. So we were like, nah, we're going to go play with Alice in Chains, our buddies, and Kiss.
That, I mean, I get it. That's fucking probably cooler. And I also
knew you said stadium. That was the best stadium around. That's a good call. That's a good call, baby.
I would think so, but I think about it, I would have probably had to divorce Molly Ringwald to marry Alanis Morissette. Yeah.
And also, I mean, I was going to be up James's alley. One of your favorite tours that you guys did was with Live and Love Spit Love, because you're a big Psychedelic Furs fan.
Oh, yeah. That was just super. Yeah, I mean, psych for Richard Butler fan. Richard was just always so, he was just a very cool guy to us, which is just mind-boggling, because who the hell were we at that time? Nobody. He had no reason to be cool to us. He was just a cool guy and always a great guy to hang out with. So, yeah, that was just a big deal.
That's cool as shit. And now, to go to the second record real quick, the title track, Wax Ecstatic, which was a mainstay for me, as I said at the top of the show in the strip club, that really, like, interesting, weird intro, right, to that song was originally an outro. You told the guitarist, bring it to the front and let's loop it. And that's what is the most hypnotic part of that fucking song.
Without a doubt. It's, every day that we play that in soundcheck, any gig that we play, that riff, I put the smile on my face because I go, it's iconic. It's impossible nearly to play, and it is so damn irritating, you know what I mean? You hear that and it's super loud. I go, man, this is pretty irritating, but probably because it's irritating, it makes me smile. But that riff, Joey Mazzola played that riff. It was at the end of the song in his guitar solo in the outro, and it was such a great riff. It's like, loop that riff and let's hear that 1,000 times.
It is great. It is fucking great. All right, that was about half the episode with Sponge on the SDR show. Go right now to gasdigital.com. Use the code SDR14 to get the rest of it and every episode we've ever done since the dawn of the show. Try out that 14-day free trial, Gas Digital, 20 other shows on the network. You don't like it, just cancel. You never get charged a thing if you do it within 14 days. Do it now.